Some soldiers are also very open about their intent to destroy the nation. In whole, they are saying, like, everyone should be eradicated. They care about how the person identifies, they care about the person's convictions, and that's why they target those who speak Ukrainian, for example, those who harbor Ukrainian national symbols. It's not about the scale. It's about this intent. Russian army retreated from Bucha and the north of Ukraine. We had no idea what was happening there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Ukraine, a show where the newsroom of the Kyiv Independent explains Ukraine's biggest events in just under 30 minutes. I'm Masha Lavrova, filling in for Anastasia Lopatina. Today, together with my colleague Danilo Mokrik, we're trying to answer the question of whether Russian crimes in Ukraine amount to genocide. Danilo is a part of Kyiv Independent's War Crimes Investigations Unit and the author of Destroy in Whole or in Part, a recently released documentary that tackles that very question. Danilo, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go on, I would like to remind you guys to subscribe to the Kyiv Independent wherever you're listening to this show. Like us, rate us, and leave comments. It will take you only a few seconds, but it goes a really long way for us. Your support is important to us. Thanks to you, we can ensure more people can stay informed about the news in Ukraine. Danilo, for many months you've been working on the investigative film Destroy in Whole or in Part, a film focusing on whether Russian crimes in Ukraine amount to genocide. The film is, by the way, available on the Kyiv Independent's YouTube now. But why did you choose this particular topic, looking at the wider picture and not focusing on a single particularly gruesome crime?
Oh, we do that, but, we've been investigating war crimes here for more than a year now, and this begs the question, what it is actually that we're dealing with. What is the nature of Russian war crimes? That's the question I often get from our audience. So, okay, you made a documentary about this, about that, about, for instance, the killings of Ukrainian children, but what's the reason behind? What's the nature again of those crimes? And I think that this documentary sets the framework of what we have done and what we are doing now and what we will do in the future. We are trying to describe the system, to explain the system. And I truly believe that without using the term genocide and without thinking about this genocidal framework, you cannot really explain Russian war crimes. You cannot really explain this war. So that's why, I guess.
So before we go on any further, can you actually define what genocide actually means? Like, what does the international law say?
Well, the legal definition of genocide is set in the UN Convention and the Rome Statute, and it is verbally the same. Genocide is acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part an ethnical, national, racial, or religious group, in whole or in part, as such. And those acts, well, killings member of the group, then creating conditions in order to cause physical destruction of members of this group, inflicting serious bodily and mental harm, preventing birth in the group, and forcible transfer of children from one group to another. So only one of those five different ways to commit genocide is actually related to direct physical killing of people.
So it's obviously not just mass killings. It's specific actions done for a specific reason, correct?
Yes. Actually, what defines genocide really is not the act itself. So you cannot infer the idea that genocide is happening based solely on killings or even forcible deportation of children. There has to be genocidal intent behind it. So it's a crime defined by intent. And this is actually the focus of our investigation. We are describing crimes, but we are really focusing on this question, whether there is or is not enough evidence of genocidal intent.
So you've mentioned the importance of proving the intent, but how does one actually prove intent?
Well, yeah, the problem is that we are really rarely dealing with, you know, documents or recorded orders to destroy a group. So mostly, again, mostly in not just in Ukraine, but in history of trying to prove genocide, we are making inferences and conclusions based on our observations, on the context, and on the specific way the possible genocidal acts are being committed, and who is targeted and how. But in our case, in Ukraine, we still have some material data that allows us to talk about genocidal intent. One is Russian state propaganda, and we are talking about both propagandists and state officials. They are quite openly often saying that they want just to wipe out the idea of Ukrainianness. So, and they say it publicly and directly. I mean, they do not, you know, disguise it in some metaphors. That's just direct phrases like that. And we have intercepted phone calls of Russian soldiers published by Ukrainian special services, by Ukrainian intelligence. And some soldiers are also very open about their intent to destroy the nation. In whole, they are not even talking, you know, we have to destroy some of them, the most active or the most resistant.
They are or just military just, yeah, that they're supposedly yeah. fighting.
They are saying like everyone should be eradicated. So this is a part of the evidence that we're dealing with. And different things, again, like those kill lists that allows you, again, to understand that those killings, those mass killings that we've seen in Bucha, for example, or elsewhere, they were not just, you know, indiscriminate shooting at everyone. It was premeditated, it was prepared, and they knew what they wanted to do. So again, this premeditation and targeting specific groups of the Ukrainian society is also an indication of genocidal intent. So given all this, we are suggesting that genocidal intent is really there. You know, all those attempts to destroy the Ukrainian culture and to Russify completely the occupied territories, this is not something you will see in the definition of genocide in the UN Convention or the Rome Statute. But it's a context that adds to your understanding of their real goals. Yeah, and the thing was the forcible transfer of children. Again, they are not just taking them away, they are Russifying them and basically turning Ukrainians into Russians. And this attempt to destroy the national identity is very indicative of genocidal intent. And it has no other reason than that, than to turn children from Ukrainians to Russians. So I think all of this combined allows us to be pretty certain that genocidal intent is there. And the Russian propaganda is connected to what Russian soldiers are doing on the ground, because they are often, you know, looking for Nazis. And that's something that a lot of witnesses all over Ukraine are telling journalists and investigators. The problem is that they could not have get this idea of Ukrainians being Nazis any other way than by the Russian propaganda. There is actually a statistic that on the 24th of February 2022, there was a massive spike in Russian media of articles saying that Ukraine is a Nazi state and Ukrainians are Nazis. And it was so massive that it was obviously coordinated. And then again, there is a daily schedule for Russian military. It is a schedule issued by the Defense Ministry of the Russian Federation, and soldiers have to watch news programs or informational programs every day, well, except Sunday. So this connection of the army to the propaganda is really important, obviously, to Russia. So there is this connection too, which helps, you know, to help explain why are they acting the way they are, because they are filled with this propaganda about Ukrainians being Nazis that need to be destroyed.
From the onset, it seems like Russians have committed many acts that are outlined in this convention. Could you give us actual examples, like a lawyer would in court?
They commit a lot of things that are basically being committed in most armed conflicts. They are killing civilians, and we saw what happened in Bucha, we saw the mass graves of Izum, so that is an act outlined in the convention. They are forcibly deporting children. They are inflicting serious bodily or mental harm to those that they abduct, torture, mutilate sometimes. So, but then again, it's not about the acts themselves. It's about the intent that is behind those acts. So you cannot base your prosecution on the description of those crimes. You need to prove that the goal behind it is to destroy the Ukrainian national group. And this is important. This is something very important. We are not talking about ethnic group. We are not talking about ethnic Ukrainians. They do not care about ethnicity. They care about the national
identity.
The national identity. They care about how the person identifies. They care about the person's convictions. And that's why they target those who speak Ukrainian, for example, those who harbor Ukrainian national symbols. This is what is important.
Would this be connected? You mentioned the kill list, right, in the beginning. So for those who don't know, there were kill lists.
There is evidence of kill lists.
There is evidence of kill lists. And on those lists, it would be people that are predominantly nationalist. You know, they're who would actively...
Patriotic, yeah.
So it would be people who are patriotic, who are journalists, politicians, anybody who would be, you know, part of creating a stronger Ukraine and a stronger national identity for our country.
Those are individuals crucial to the existence of the national group. Because, you know, a nation is... The bottom line is that it is an imaginary society. It is something that people imagine and identify with. It is based, this society is based on a set of ideas, on a set of practices. So if you eliminate those people that are crucial to make those practices and beliefs work, make them exist, you can turn a nation into just a mass of people. And that's why they are targeting specific groups. That's why they are not trying to eliminate everyone, because that would be, for one, too obvious if they just, you know, massacred everyone. And two, it would demand a lot of resources to do that. And there's no need for that. So they need to destroy the part of the group that makes the group what it is. And I think that's why the UN Convention defines genocide as actions committed with intent to destroy the group in whole or in part. It's not, you know, always the idea to destroy totally, like it was during the Shoah or the Rwandan genocide. It can be targeted, but it's still the same intent. It's still the same genocidal intent. So it's not about the number of killings. It's not about the scale. It's about this intent.
The deliberate intent to harm. So what are the arguments of the skeptics? I know that there are still quite a lot of scholars that don't think that Russia's actions in Ukraine amount to genocide.
Yes, and we have one in our documentary. It's Professor William Schabas. He's probably the top authority on genocide when it comes to international law. Their idea is that, one, it is very hard to prove genocidal intent, and you have to prove it not only convincingly, but also unequivocally. So you have to rule out any other possible explanation for war crimes that are being committed. And the case law actually tells us the same, because if you look at the International Tribunal for former Yugoslavia, there were quite a few cases where charges of genocide were brought to the tribunal, but were dismissed by the tribunal itself. So the prosecution failed to prove genocide.
Unequivocally.
Unequivocally, yeah. And the problem was that they often find, you know, other explanations or some elements that are not indicative of genocide. The problem, again, the practice, the case law of international tribunals is that if there is any doubt, it is used in favor of the defendant. That's how it works. And William Schabas, actually, he adopts the same stance, the same reasoning. So that's why he's skeptical. He is he believes, for instance, that the dynamic of the killings of civilians has declined since Bucha or maybe since Izyum. The problem is that it is often based on assumptions, because most war crimes that Russia is committing, Russian army is committing on the territories they control. And those are territories that we do not have access to.
So we cannot see what is actually happening there.
Exactly. Before Russian army retreated from Bucha and the north of Ukraine, we had no idea
the level of atrocities.
What was happening there. Yeah, we knew that some people are being killed. There was information about that, but we had no idea of the scale of it. Before the Russian retreat from Izyum, we had no idea about the mass graves uncovered there. And it is the same with every occupied territory. You have no idea what is happening. We still get quite a lot of bits and pieces of information of killings that are happening there, of murders that are happening there. But we have no means to go there to investigate. We have no means to describe what is happening, to investigate what is happening. So I see it as a bit of a baseless statement that the violence has declined. We have no idea if it has.
Is Ukraine trying to prove that this war in Ukraine is actually genocidal in court?
Well, not yet. Although, as far as I know, the Prosecutor General's Office of Ukraine is working on a case on genocide. But again, you have to understand that this is a very complex thing to prove. You do not go in court with some raw material hoping that you'll get lucky or that, you know, the judges will be sympathetic with you. It's not something that is done easily. But as far as I know, the investigation is ongoing. And I believe that the Prosecutor General, Andriy Kostin, just recently said that they are still continuing to investigate, to prepare a case on genocide. So I would give it time, again, given that it is really not obvious. And the level of proof that you need to have, it is one thing to talk about genocide analytically, you know, just to analyze everything that is happening and to say, yes, it is genocide. It really does fit the criteria as outlined by the UN Convention. But it is very different to take something to court. So I would give them time. No one says that the prosecution will be successful. You know, we don't know that. But I think we have to try. The problem is that if we go to an international court, whether it's a international tribunal or otherwise, and we lose this case, the verdict will say that we have not been able to prove beyond reasonable doubt that genocide is happening or was the time. But the propaganda will use it differently. They will say that the court has proven
that there is no genocide.
There is no genocide. Those are two very different things. And there are cases of genocide that have been unsuccessful in the International Tribunal for former Yugoslavia. And then there have been cases that were successful. Krstić, for example. So it is a very nuanced thing to work on. And I would rather they take their time, they take even a few more years, but they have a very solid case than, you know, to rush somewhere to prove something quickly and to fail. So that's my point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would be absolutely heartbreaking to put all that work and then to have the court pretty much dismiss the case because there's not enough unequivocal proof or intent of the genocide in Ukraine.
And another question is, well, if you really have to do that, I mean, it is much easier to prove war crimes and crimes against humanity because they do not require, you know, this immaterial work on immaterial in the sense that it is not tangible on genocidal intent. So if you're facing the choice whether, you know, have a very solid case of, let's say, crimes against humanity or a 50-50 case on genocide, well, as a prosecutor, you would choose the solid case. Although the question remains whether, you know, when we are talking about genocide, the victim is not an individual. Crimes against humanity and war crimes in general, those are crimes when victims are individuals. When we are talking about genocide, the victim is a group of people. So if you settle for crimes against humanity or war crimes, justice will be done for individuals, but will it be done for the national group? That's the question.
And will it explain to what's actually happening in this war in Ukraine?
Yeah.
Like, will it actually explain what Russians have been doing in Ukraine in the past 10 years?
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I'm not trying, you know, to get political here. I'm not trying to use the term to gain some political advantage, some, you know, propaganda advantage. My idea behind this is not even, you know, urging the international community to recognize there is genocide and act upon it. It is simply to explain what is really happening. I have, when I started working on this subject, and I started working actually on the subject of possible genocide in Ukraine back in the spring of 2022, I really had no idea in my head to urge someone to do something. My idea is to explain the nature of those systematic war crimes that are happening all over Ukraine.
We're going to move on to the question from our community. So what has to happen for the skeptics, in your opinion, to change their mind about genocide happening in Ukraine?
Well, if you are, you know, a really entrenched skeptic, then nothing. Because there are still people today that deny Holocaust. There are still people today that deny that genocide even exists as a crime. So if you are dealing with someone more reasonable, you can maybe just demonstrate all the evidence that is there and all the proof that is there. And that is something we are trying to do in our documentary too. We are trying to explain that we have reasons to talk about genocide, and that's why. Then again, that goes for reasonable people. But for those that are, you know, entrenched in their opinion that no genocide is happening, that this is all just political talk, even if, say, Vladimir Putin went on air saying that we really want to destroy the Ukrainian nation
in whole or in part,
and I gave specific orders about that, they would say, well, that's just, you know, belligerent war talk. Or maybe he's just, you know, senile. Well, he's 72 now, so he's quite old. Maybe he doesn't understand what he's talking about anymore. And there's no proof that he gave those orders. So there are some people to whom nothing will be enough. But I don't think that we have to focus on those. We have to focus on the reasonable audience and on reasonable skeptics. And we are trying to talk to them through our documentary, Inter Alia.
Thank you for coming to the show, Danilo.
Thanks again for having me.
You can find this show on YouTube and all audio platforms every Saturday. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like and comment wherever you listen to this podcast. And make sure to subscribe so you never miss a new episode. Please support the Kyiv Independent by donating to us and becoming a member of our community. You can do that at kyivindependent.com/membership. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Thank you for listening.